It is well with my soul. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Church, say amen again.
Amen.
That's a beautiful song, isn't it? I think it's just important to know that whatever goes on, it's well with my soul. I love the last verse, and I'll just read the words to you because it's something that I'm excited for, a day that I hope to see really soon. Or when I see it, I hope to see it, God in peace. He said, and Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? It's going to be a wonderful day when the Lord will descend. And for the people of God, that's going to be a good day. It'll be well with our soul when we're able to see Jesus' face in peace. Now, everybody won't be happy about that day, but we will. So I love that song. I think I sing it to myself 5 or 6 times a week. And it just brings a sense of peace to me. I'm glad all of you were able to make it back this afternoon. We had a good worship service this morning. You know, it's always interesting to say we had a good worship service when you did the preaching, right? No, I'm just kidding. But we had a good worship service this morning. The spirit was here. The energy was here. And I just think God was pleased with what we did on this morning. And I just hope that God is pleased on what we do on every day of our lives. Because it's one thing to be pleasing and acceptable, or to try to be pleasing and acceptable in the morning, on Sunday morning. But it's something totally different to try to live your life pleasing to God on a daily basis. And I am convinced that what God really wants from us is to be consistent in the way that we live our life on day to day. How do I know that to be true? Because if you think about it, you spend about 4 hours a week at the church house. That's if you come back on Wednesday. And that's about 3.4% of your time. That means that 96.7% of your time, something like that. A bunch of your time is away from here. I talk music, not math. But the idea is that it's no way in the world that God is expecting or happy with us just spending 4 hours in a day pleasing him. It's got to be more than that. All right, so I'm not going to hold you long because my sister-in-law is here, and she already called my wife and asked me how long I was going to be. And I said, and Kayla said, he's going to be 15 minutes. I don't know where she got that number from. But hey, we're going to try it. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, the 28th verse. And I love this passage of scripture because this passage of scripture is made for people like you and I. Matthew 11, the 28th verse says, come unto me, all ye who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn of me, I am gentle and humble, and ye will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. And I'm reading from the Common English Version. Some of you read it, come on ye all ye that labor and that heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Either way it goes, the same message. Now I think it's important that we give you just a title for this message from Matthew 11. We'll just take a short title, which is Rest for the Weary. Isn't it good to get rest? Now, in order for us to truly understand what Jesus is speaking about or what he's talking about, it's important for us to understand who he was talking to. Now, the Gospels, especially those who we call synoptic Gospels or the Gospels that are the same, are written by 3 different apostles of Jesus, but they're written to 3 different audiences, okay? And I think it's important for us to understand who the audience is that Matthew is writing to, because if we understand the audience, we understand exactly what it is he's trying to portray. Now, Matthew's gospel is written particularly to Jewish Christians, those people who had already, who were born Jews and are now converting their lives from Judaism into what we now call Christianity. And one of the things that was common amongst the Jewish Christians is that many of them, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees put an extra burden on the Jewish Christians. And what was happening is that they were coming into Christianity, but they were also bringing in some of the burdens of Judaism. And the law, the word they were very legalistic in the way that they looked at their faith. So the Pharisees were a very prominent group of Jews during the Bible days. They were the educated Jews. They were the people that were responsible for both setting and carrying out the law. And the Pharisees had done quite a bit to the Jews to make being Jewish and following God difficult. As a matter of fact, they had, history says that they had added something like 600 rules to what was considered work and what was not considered work on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees had made it very difficult to please God. And they had made it where you had to follow so many laws in order to be acceptable to God. And it got to the point where they had so many laws, the Jews didn't know what to keep. So they always lived in this state of fluctuation where they're trying to figure out, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Okay? So when Matthew writes this particular passage, he's writing to that set of Jews, those people who have been overcome with all of the little bitty laws that the Pharisees and the Sadducees have placed on their faith. So Jesus then comes and he says, now listen, I know what you have learned. I know what the Pharisees have given to you. I know all of the legalistic things that are controlling your life. But what I want to offer you is a light burden. I want you to come unto me. And then what I'll give you is, I take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and of lowly heart. So what he's saying is, now I know what you got going on out there, but what I'm offering you is a light burden. See, and I think it's important for us to understand this, and I think it's important for us not only to talk about what the Pharisees were doing to the Jews, but also to talk about sometime what we do to ourselves. See, because sometimes we make Christianity too complicated. We start adding traditions and rules and rules on top of rules and things on top of things. And people can't figure out, how in the world am I supposed to follow Jesus with all of this stuff? And I'm telling you, we are sometimes just like the Pharisees. The things that we add to the faith are not things that Jesus added himself. So we have to be careful about what we prefer and what our preferences are and what our traditions allow us to do versus what God has actually asked us to do. So the question is, well, Jesus, you said, come unto me, all you ye that are heavy and heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, if you're not careful, it will sound like Jesus is contradicting himself. Because he's saying, you come with your heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. But then in the next breath, he says, take my yoke. So that means that Jesus is asking us to get rid of something and to pick up something else. So when he says, when he's talking about the rest for the weary, he's not saying that we are now becoming stagnant. He's not saying that your rest is going to stop you from doing work. He's saying that there is a better work out there that you need to engage in. So the question is, Brother Mason, what in the world is the work? What is it that is the primary, the essence of a Christian? Now, this is important because if you don't have this, you can't move forward. Somebody take your, go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, around the 36th verse. And we're going to try our best to stay in Matthew because we're still talking about the same audience. Now we'll jump into 1 John in a minute, but we really want to spend some time in Matthew. But Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 36, again, Jesus is having this dialogue with the Christians, or with the Jews and the Pharisees, and they're pushing back on what he's doing. And then a lawyer comes to him, right? And verse 36, anybody there, verse 36, what does he say?
Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
Yeah, he says, Master, this Jesus teaching here. He goes to Master, he said, now, Master, which one of these rules do we really have to follow? That's what the context is. He's not saying, which one of these commandments is the greatest one? And the reason why he's asking this question is because he's living in a time where there's so many rules, he can't figure out which one to follow. See, and I understand that because we do that. My daughter does that to me sometimes. She'll say to me, now, Daddy, what is it that you want me to do? Right? I say, clean up the room. Do this. Do that. Do this. Do that. Now, she understands. It's almost like the other day, I was in my school building, and I was telling the kids walking down the hallway, and I said, hurry up and get to class. Guess what they did? And I said, don't run. They was confused. Which one do you want us to do? Hurry up or walk? Right? And that's how we are in Christianity. I do it there sometimes. I'll say, do this, do that, do this. And she's sitting there and she's stuck. Which one am I doing? Am I eating my dinner? Am I doing my homework? Am I going upstairs? Which one? Am I playing with my brother? Just tell me which one I need to do. And that's what the lawyer's asking Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, which one of these laws is the law that's the most important? Right. Now watch this now, because if you miss this, then you're going to miss everything that it is to be Christian. Watch Jesus' response. What does he say?
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
yeah,
and with all thy soul,
yeah,
and with all thy mind.
Yeah.
This is the first and great commandment.
Yeah. So what did Jesus say? He said, Jesus, what's the best commandment? What's the one that I have to keep? What's the one that you need me to really adhere to in order for me to be a Christian? And Jesus responded and said, love. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, I know we struggle sometimes because we can be a law-abiding Christian and a loveless Christian.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm working on a message I'm going to share with you sometime soon that says we got truth, no ministry. And the reason why you can have the truth and lack ministry is because you lack love. How do I know this is right? Somebody go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 3. 1 John 5 and verse 3. What does it say there? Say there.
By this is the love of God.
Yeah.
That we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
And his commandments are not burdens.
Yeah. So stop right there. He's saying, what I want you to do? I want you to love. Mm-hmm. And that's the commandment you need to keep. And that commandment is what?
Love.
And it's not burdensome. Right? So what does Jesus say? What does God say to us? He's saying, if you're looking for something to take to work with you tomorrow, if you're looking for something to go home with, if you're looking for a burden that is light, I'm going to give you one. What is it? Love. You can spend your time doing a lot of things. You can spend your time talking. You can spend your time working. You can do all the things that the Bible says, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't love, you're wasting your time. Because it's impossible to be connected to God if you don't have love, because God is love. I said it last week. It's not his characteristic, it's his essence. He is love. So, the very first thing, if you want, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? So, what's the burden? What's his yoke? His yoke is a loving spirit. If you want some rest, put down some of the other mess you're doing and pick up love. Put it down. And guess what? When you pick the stuff up that you need to pick up, now you're going to pick it up and do it right. It's kind of like when you're at home, And you know, your wife says something to you like cut the grass or take out the trash and all that, and you can actually do that task and she not be pleased. You know that?
Yeah.
Y'all looking at me funny. You can actually do what is asked of you and not be pleasing. If my wife says the trash need to go out and I grab the trash, drop it. Take it down the step. As I take it down the step, knock all the trash out of the thing. All the way in the garage. I leave a trail for the trash can. And I throw it out. And I come back in. I say, trash is out. You think she happy?
No.
No, because I did it with the wrong attitude. So what I'm telling you is, if you want to pick up some stuff and you want to work with God, start with love. And then he says, so the first thing is, what is the yoke? The yoke is love. And so how do you get rest? Pick up love. The second way that you get rest is because of who is giving the assignment. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and do what? And learn of me. Learn who I am. And then he gives you the cliff note version. He says, learn of me. Then he says, you're going to learn of me, but I'm going to tell you exactly who I am. I am meek and lowly in heart. Sometimes the reason why we struggle and we can't find spiritual rest is because we're not attached to the right master. See, Jesus said, love. And not only love, and the reason why you can love is because the person who gave you the assignment to love is meek and lowly. See, it's hard to follow somebody who's arrogant. It's hard to follow somebody who is laced with a lot of pride and nasty attitude. So Jesus said, I want you to love, and not only do I want you to love, I want you to love and then learn. What do you want you to learn, Jesus? I want you to learn who I am. But just in case you want to know who I am, I'm a meek and lowly Savior. I'm humble. And if you do those things, you will find rest unto your soul. So as you go through the week this week, I'm done. See? How long was that?
So as you go through the week this week, you need to be looking for opportunities not to serve, but to love. You're not looking for opportunities to stay busy. It's okay to be busy, but being busy without love is just busy.
So when you're looking for opportunities to love, and then you're excited about those opportunities to love. Why? Because the command that you were given to love came from a loving God. If some of you today, I know, you came back to today and you're just looking for a little bit of boost to make it into Monday. I get it. You're just looking for a little shot in the arm to make it into Monday. You're saying to yourself, if I could come here tonight and just get a little taste, I'll be able to deal with these crazy folks tomorrow. Well, this is your taste. Love. Love. Who do I love, Brother Mason? Everybody. Who is everybody? Them people at work. My mother, my father, my enemy. I love my children. I love everybody. I love the person on the street. But the thing is that who don't forget to love yourself? Because if you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. And then once you love, if you're starting to wonder, you're getting tired of loving, remember who gave the commandment. Man. A meek and lowly Savior. That Savior is so good that he gave his life on the cross. Yeah, he did it. And what I love about it, he did it without even us asking him. He did it because that's what he was sent to do. And he gave a perfect life on the cross. He died, was buried, and then he got up. And I love the fact that he got up, because if he had gone to the cross and died and didn't get up, he would have been just like everybody else. And he got up. And when he got up with all power in his hands, and he got up with love in his heart. And his example is what we use every day in order to make it through. Don't you dare look at me to try to figure out how to live your life. Don't spend your time looking at your brother, your sister, your elders, or your deacons to try to figure out how to live a perfect life. We didn't get it right. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. If you believe that he gave his life for your sins, you've heard the word of God. Believe it. After you believe it, repent of your sins. And when I say repent of your sins, no, I'm not mean report of your sins. We don't really need to know what you did. We really don't. And a matter of fact, it's probably better that you don't tell us. Because some of us ain't strong enough to know your sin and still give you and forgive you. Yeah, you looking for, yeah, if some of y'all knew what you did, if all of us had our sins written on our shirt, we wouldn't even be able to sit next to each other. We don't need to know. Just decided you're not going to do it again. And you might slip, change your mind, change your heart, walk away from the foolishness, and then confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then once you've done that, be baptized into his body. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest gift one can ever have, is to be close to Jesus. Some of us have already done that, but we're struggling. We're struggling to love. We're still walking around with this heavy burden. We're still trying to figure out every day, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I'm struggling. The Christian struggle shouldn't be that hard. Because the Christian task is very simple. Love. And if you do that, it'll take care of a lot. I know we sometimes as church folks give you a lot of extra stuff to do. And that's how I get it. But in real life, what God has asked you to do is to have a loving heart. And some of us have just struggled to love. Well, this is the opportunity right now to return to Jesus and to pick up his commandment and take that burden that you have, give it to him, and take the light one. Take what he has to give you. Do that right now as we stand and sing our invitation song.
Come from the low somewhere.